this now, because it's, my Bible is heavy. So, just.
Okay, the first scripture is
Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment? Okay, and this scripture, there is a scripture before that speaks about, you know, that God is, you know, we are not to really think about anything else in regards to worry, because he's got it all under control. And in Philippians 4:6, it speaks, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now, that scripture is a scripture that God put upon my heart many years ago, and he continues to show me that if I disobey that, then I'm beginning to, what? Worry and get anxious over something, you know? And, you know, we all fall short. It's how we come back. If we lull ourselves into that, we are grieving the Holy Spirit, and we are not really living the life he's called us to, you know? So Jesus gave me a lot of instruction about who we are in him. You know, just by the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, you can sit down, thank you, sit down, take a seat. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you know, I'm sure everyone has read through that, but has anyone really meditated on all that he has in those three chapters? He has so, so much for us, you know? And one of the things is we are to treat our fellow men and women, you know, the way that Jesus would speak to everyone, you know? And that's an important scripture to me, you know, and it should be to all of us, you know? And about judging, you know, I don't hear this preached much about judge not that ye may not be judged. You know, there are so many things in the kingdom, and he specifically puts that, judge not that you shall not be judged. And if you really think about that, you would have a lot less to say but love to others, you know, because quickly we wander over into judging, you know. We don't even, you know, I'm speaking to the choir here, you know, many times we will wander over and we end up, you know, maybe speaking or thinking things that God never intended us to think about, you know. So we have to keep that in mind, you know. So I do want to read some of the Sermon on the Mount to you, in not being anxious and not worrying, because you won't if you obey, you know. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, the Bible talks about a soldier. And I've really pondered that. What, who and what, and why would he put that in the word? Why would he put a soldier? You know, I think of myself as a bride of Christ, not a soldier, you know, because we are the bride of Christ. But no, he puts in about, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So keep your mind alert, because the enemy is always on the attack, you know? And most, I believe everyone here is saved. So we all have a mindset. We all have to keep ourselves in a place with God. And if we move out of that place, it almost gives right to the enemy. And, you know, who are soldiers? You know, I think about that. And one thing that, you know, because now I'm from a police background. My husband was a policeman. My sons were policemen. And one in particular, my son Scott, because now I'm, you know, married, you know, 22 years or 23 years. And he had, he always wanted to be a policeman. And so he was living in the house. He was engaged, actually. And he was in what do they call it when they're? The academy, right, the academy. And every night he would come home. Now, I would say to him, do you want me to do anything for you? And he says, oh, no. I have to have my underwear even starched and pressed. And I said, oh, okay. He took such miraculous care of every piece of clothing on him. I said, oh, my, you know, what is this? And he said, when he got in, to his, you know, into work, you know, because it was work now, the sergeant would examine him. He would examine every one of them, and he was nasty. My son made reference to how nasty he was. And I said, wow, it's like the army in boot camp, I guess, you know? And he said, they're trying to wear me down. And it was day after day after day, because he had 6 months of this. I think it was almost 6 months he was in this boot camp. And a lot of men dropped out. A lot of men dropped out because they play mind games with you. It's all about the mind. And he said you had to keep your mind focused on every single thing you did. And if you didn't, he had you, they were in some sort of a building, and he would have to run up and down the stairs, like for an hour, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down, because he didn't do something or say something that the sergeant, you know, was not happy with, you know? So, you know, I think of that as a soldier of the cross. And I know when I was, you know, I'm out of the Catholic Church, a lot of us are, but one thing I did when I received confirmation, I knew it was a very important day. It was a very, very important day. I took it very much to heart. I almost felt many attacks coming at me. Now, I didn't know Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord. I did have a fear of God. I had a very, very deep fear of God, almost to the point of being so scared of him that I didn't want to make a wrong move, you know? And when the bishop slapped me in the face, I don't even think they do that anymore, he said to me, what were the words he said to me? He said, you are now a soldier of the cross. I didn't even know who a soldier was. And I'm like, I went out of there scared. I have to say, I that's who I was. So it was a very important time in my life. And yet, I didn't even know Jesus really as my Savior and Lord at that point. So it goes to show you that we do have that consciousness in us, and we have to let that conscience continue to work in us so that we don't start faltering, taking things for granted. It's so easy to do that. And we all go through ups and downs and ins and outs and, you know, sad times, happy times. But the best time is with the Lord, because if we keep him as Lord of our life, all those times, God can give us all that we need. That's our choice, you know. So again, I sharing a message, I committed certain scriptures truly to memory, and then I began to eat them, because you should be chewing the word. And I don't chew the word enough, but that's what we should be doing, chewing the word, you know, so that when those things come around, that they can be sudden, something can affect us very quickly. If we don't quickly, as a soldier, go right to the word, right to the word, our first instinct may be fear, it may be anger, it may be sadness, you know, all the emotions. But if we go to the word immediately, he will give us the grace to endure as a hardship. That's what he says. So we have to believe what he says. He will give us that if we choose first to come right to him, and then let him feed you the word. Let him feed you all that he has for you, you know? And in this time now in Christmas, you know, there's a lot of things that go on. Like my brother said, you know, you may be having some people over that, you know, aren't in agreement with you. You may have a lot of things to do, a lot of rote things to get done, you know. So it can be a time of gloom for some people, you know. So we have to, you know, it really can be a time of gloom. Like, they can't wait till it's all over. But this is a time when we can evangelize. It's a time that, you know, there are beautiful choirs playing all over Long Island, really, you know. So we can invite people, you know, and it's not, it won't stir them that much. Like, oh, I'm going out of another church, or, you know, what is this? No, it's a beautiful choir, but it can touch the hearts of us, you know. So that's what I, you know, God is saying, commit my word to memory, chew it, speak it, and then walk in it, you know. And I remember my husband always said, he said, you know, if necessary, because he quoted this from somebody, he was a big quoter, he said, if necessary, speak about Jesus. In other words, they should see that in you, you know. So, I don't want to be preaching at you. I want to be encouraging to you. So we talk about this concept of always turning to the Lord. So where do we go to, you know, to really apply it? Yes, we go to that word in Philippians 4:6. We begin to train ourselves. These are like measures that we take stands. But then we have to know how much God loves us, because love is the greatest. So all these commands, I would say, you know, they're all good. Well, we have to know how much God loves us. You know, that he did that ultimate sacrifice for us, that we then can make the sacrifices for others. You know, sometimes, you know, I mean, I remember years ago, one of my children would get sick and I'd want to rush off and praise the Lord at some great place, you know, and it would be, no, you're staying home, because that's your responsibility as a mother, you know. And it's like, oh, and then I'd say, you know what, that's right, I'm a mother, I have to, but I like to go to different things, I like to be there, I like to be there for the events, you know. So it's, you know, that's as simple as that, you know. But there's so many other, you know, responsibilities and things that come up, but I'm just giving you a little example. And so, you know, during this time now, there's a lot of rejoicing going on. I'm going to go to a beautiful concert this afternoon that I became aware of, and it's like an interfaith type of concert in three denominational churches, that they're putting together a beautiful concert. So, you know, God will use that. God will really use that. And so even though those things are going on, all those nice good things are going on, the world really is getting a lot darker, you know, a lot darker. This country we know was founded on Christian values, on sacrifice, on keeping Christ first, and now we're in a world, even a continent, even a state, that's growing more and more against every principle of God, you know. So what is our role in this now? What is our role as believers, as Holy Spirit believers? You know, we've just been hearing a lot from Pastor Diane about walking in the Spirit and stepping over our sin. So what is our call? Our call is to show our light in a shining, in this dark and weary world, really, you know. So there's no time, is what I'm getting at. There is no time to worry and be anxious. So wherever we are right now in our walk with the Lord, in our everyday walk, there's no time for this now. There's just no time. Our time is His time. And that's a hard thing to swallow, but it's our time is now His time. And His time is glorious. His time is actually glorious. We're honored to be here, to be able to walk in the glory of God from glory to glory. So those are the things we have to, you know, look on and really begin to imagine. Just begin to imagine how wonderful and how great it is for where we are. And everyone is in a different place. Some are in some really hard places. Some are in some, you know, like it's just another day. No, it's not another day. Every day is a day that God's given us. So I just want to actually read a little bit of the Beatitudes, you know. I'm not a long-winded person, and I'm short and to the point. And I think that's the way it should be. You know, we don't have to sit and, you know, or stand and feel we gotta spend 2 hours, you know, knocking and knocking, you know, at the door. We're to knock at the door of Christ, you know. So I do want to do that, because that's the word. And the important. Now just imagine yourself that Jesus was seeing the multitudes. So if we're even seeing one person, to me, one person is a multitude. Because if God uses us to save one soul, just one soul, that soul could go out and save others. But we have done, we've been obedient to what the Holy Spirit has said, has spoken to us about. So Jesus, he went up into the mountain. And when he was all set down, who was he first preaching to? His disciples. He was preaching to the multitude, but he was first preaching to the disciples. And he's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, if we're so blessed, we should be, this should be a part of heaven, an extension of heaven. If you can understand us, we, walking in the Spirit, we are an extension. This is the kingdom that we're walking in. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So where am I? I'm starting heaven already in some way. He's training me. He's training me. And he's training you. And Jesus opened up his mouth and said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Yeah. Well, if we're in contact with people and they're in a mourning state, we're called to mourn with them. Because we too will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What earth? I believe it's the new one. Because this earth is filled with so much, but eventually we're going to have a new earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's where worry and anxiety and anxiousness should be thrown right to the pit, because we're seeking hunger and thirst after righteousness. So that's what we're called to do. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you're not in any way merciful, I don't know how you can expect to have any mercy on you. That's what he's saying. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And how can you be so pure in heart? The mind. To continually, when those, because that's the warfare. The warfare of a soldier, too. If we can keep our hearts and minds, every time we start thinking about something that could be a negative thought or a negative condemnation or something that said that we really have to go through, you know, if we can keep our eyes on the Lord, He will change that. Somehow I've experienced those things. So I want to experience more. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And I always felt about that scripture. Blessed are the peacemakers. There is so much war going on. And if we can be used as a peacemaker and not maybe even rouse somebody else up, praise God, because there's enough garbage going on. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, I don't know. I'll be honest, I haven't come across that much persecution. So we don't know what's ahead. We have no idea what's ahead. Because with all the laws, the government is infringing on people all over. We can be affected. So there is a form of persecution coming down. So how are we going to respond to that? By righteousness, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let our requests be known to the Lord. And then the last one. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And that's what it's saying. Rejoice and be exceedingly, exceedingly glad. If somebody persecutes you, we're called to be exceeding glad. So that's got to be the Spirit of God. So that's all I could say with that. So we're the salt of the earth. So we have to keep that salt getting saltier, you know? Because if we don't, we're going to be good for nothing. It says, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewithal shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing. Oh, that's a little scary. But you know what? That's the Holy Spirit. He's talking to us. Because what? We are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. So we do not want to be hidden. We want to be out there. We don't want to crawl in. You know, there's a time to crawl in your closet and pray, yes. But there's a big time to be out there showing your light. Okay? Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Wow. I remember, I thank God, my husband and I came to the Lord together, but we had four children. Now, let me tell you, they had to be schooled in the spirit, let's say. And they had a way of persecuting us. They did. They were our sanctification. And the only note I would put on that is stick together, because it can be quite harrowing when you don't. So we made that commitment to each other. So I could go on and on with this, and to me the Beatitudes are a very important part of my life, you know, and just going over it one by one, I do see. So it also says, okay, I'm just going to read a thing. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother, without a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Wow. This is the word of God. Therefore, if thou shalt bring the gift to the altar, and there remembered that your brother has ought against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly. While you shall in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. Verily I say to you, then thou shalt by no means come out thence till you have paid the uttermost farthing. Well, that's a very hard message that he's giving us. And so we have to be very careful what we say, what we do, and really who we're with, I would say too, you know. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her after committed adultery with her already has done it in his heart. And if your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. And if your right hand offends you, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not your whole body, that it should be cast into hell. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say to you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. You can understand that, I'm sure. Again, you have heard that it has been said of them of old, you shall not forswear yourself, but shall perform to the Lord your oaths. But I say to you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, nor it is the city of the great king. I'm going to stop there and just say that we should all go home, meditate upon the word of God. And that last part I just read about swearing not at all, that is a caution to us, because the word talks about our tongue, and very easily we can swear something, we don't even realize we're doing things like this. So by meditating upon the word of God, there's an alert system put up, and it helps us to, as the soldier, as the bride soldier, to take much into captivity in our tongue, in our minds, and causes us to walk on that highway to holiness, which is in the book of, one of the places it's put in Lamentations about walking the highway to holiness. So take heed, I'm speaking to the choir myself, that this is a journey, this is a beautiful journey, but it is a high calling, as Paul said. It is a high calling. So I thank God for Christmas coming, that we can be a light unto the world, and that we can keep ourselves close in the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to just end with that, and just ask you to, as I know I should, read and meditate on the Beatitudes during this Christmas season. And, you know, whenever God calls you to do. So thank God. So if anyone would like prayer, you know, I'd be happy to pray with you. And happy. I would be blessed. Happy is different from blessed. I would be blessed to pray with you. So, Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you that we as a body, as a close-knit body, Father, that we will heed and you will give us great understanding as we continue to walk our walk and talk our talk and become all that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thing I desire, only this I see, just to dwell here forever. This will be my posture, laying at your feet. Oh, just to dwell here forever. Be my posture, laying at your feet.